broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I've been asked about this a couple times. I think this is rightly a matter for New York City.
It's incredibly dangerous, and it's dangerous to our troops.
Officers responded. They found a victim when they first entered the building.
An ice cream vendor.
That's very tough to swallow.
World-famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and we go anywhere, and I mean anywhere, through the looking glass to find it. Tonight we have Pastor David Casanova from David Casanova Ministries to talk about a statement, another one of these wild statements. A Colorado Senate candidate by the name of Ken Buck insists that rape and incest are no excuses for abortion. So we'll talk with David about that. And then later on, we hope to have on Stephen Bozell and possibly his brother, Eric Bozell. Mr. Bozell was cited for a misdemeanor, child endangerment, another hot summer, and kids being left in cars, and we'll have on a man who is actually cited for that later on in our program. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and the Ground Zero Mosque wins approval. The leading Republican candidate for the Senate in Colorado says rape and incest are no excuse for abortion. Stephen Bozell and David Casanova. Our number 877-876-PHIL. And our affiliate spotlight tonight on Indianapolis, WXNT 1430 AM. And in Bend, Oregon, KWLZ 96.5 FM. What?
Bend. I bet they bend. Come on, man.
877-876-PHIL. Here is the story. I got Mr. Ken Buck. I don't have him tonight. We're going to have his David Casanova's waiting in the wings, and we'll have David on in just a moment. But the news story as I see it here, Ken Buck, here's a cat that is running for the state Senate in Colorado. He's a Tea Party-backed candidate, which I'm not, you know, I hate to do that. I didn't do that on purpose, folks. It's in the news story, so you need to know that it is not something that Phil Hendry said, ooh, look. It's in the news story. The Tea Party-backed contender, Ken Buck, who's facing off against Jane Norton in Colorado's GOP Senate primary, says he firmly opposes abortion rights and doesn't believe in the exception of rape or incest. He made his comments yesterday at a campaign event where he took questions from many of the constituents. So his name is Buck, Ken Buck. Let's listen to the Buck.
Funny, the buck stops there.
Yeah, that's great, man. Tea Party back, Ken Buck explains his stance on abortion.
I am pro-life, and I'll answer the next question. I don't believe in the exceptions of rape or incest. I believe that the only exception, I guess, is life of the mother, and that is only if it's truly life of the mother. I mean, to me, you can't say you're pro-life and say, if there is, and it's a very rare situation where one life would have to cease for the other life to exist. But in that very rare situation, tubal pregnancy, some other things, we may have to take the life of the child to save the life of the mother. And in that rare situation, I am in favor of that exception. But other than that, I have no exceptions in my position.
So that is Ken Buck. And as I mentioned, he's a Colorado State Senate candidate. And with us now is David Casanova from Casanova Ministries in Long Beach, California. And David, good evening. Thanks for joining us.
Phil, I'm very, very happy to be on your program. And I wanted to just say something. You've got to let me say this. I remember listening to your program for the very first time.
Okay.
And I think it was in 1998 or 1999. And I got such a kick out of listening to you. I thought, this guy has got to be crazy. And I have been off and on, as we come in and out of Los Angeles, I have been off and on a big fan of yours for a long time. I think you put a lot of joy in a lot of people's lives. I'm very, very grateful that you have me on your program tonight.
Well, I'm glad that you're on the program, and thank you for letting me call you. Do people call you Reverend?
Oh, Phil, you know, David is fine. David's fine. They call me Reverend. They call me Pastor. They call me Preacher Dave. But I prefer David.
Okay. David, I wanted to ask you about this man's comment here, Ken Buck, the state Senate candidate.
Sure.
He is saying that there should be no exception made when it comes to abortion, that if a woman is raped, if a woman has incest, it doesn't matter. the child, she has to give birth to the child. And I know that you have done some counseling at your ministry there that some people have considered to be a little controversial, and other people seem to think it works just fine. Can you tell me a little bit about it?
Well, sure, Phil. What we do is we do a training called Extended Language Therapy, or ELT, Emotional Language Therapy or Treatment. Using emotional language, what we try to do is take a young woman, and through the ministry that we are firm believers in the Word of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and the gospel being the Word of God, we take the very real trauma that a woman has experienced through rape and incest, and we don't dismiss it. Now, we cannot condone abortion. We just don't.
Okay.
As Christians, we cannot do that, and I do not do that. But I do recognize, Phil, very real outrage, obviously, that a woman's going to feel when she has been put through something like that. And my heart breaks for the many women that we have seen over the years, many of them in our own church, that have endured this.
Right.
And so we have to approach it very realistically. And through ELT, we're able to do that.
And this is the way that she gives birth to the child, even though this child is born as the result of this terrible rape or incest, this horrible trauma.
That is correct, yes.
And what assistance does she get from the church?
Well, let me tell you about that, because that's a great question, and it's very real. We begin before the baby's even born. And in the case of one young lady, I can give you an example of. I won't give you her name, her full name. We can call her Deborah if you want to. I counseled her well before her baby was born. This was a baby that was going to be born as the result of a terrible, terrible assault by an uncle in her own family.
Wow.
And I told her, I said, when this baby is born, you be very clear to this child, when you speak to this child for the first time, how you feel about its father, about the child's father. And she said, well, what do you mean? I said, you can refer to the father as garbage. You can say it was garbage. If the child says,
wow.
If the child says, that's right, Phil. Because what we're dealing with now is the anger. While we have a baby being born, and we praise God that we've saved another child. We praise God that we've saved another baby from this Holocaust that has gone on far too long. We also recognize there's some anger to deal with here on the part of this young woman. So we say to her, you tell that child, and when the child says, who was my father? You say, it was garbage. It was a sack of garbage. It was walking garbage. That was your father. And as the result of the anger that I feel from what it did to me. And you're talking to the child now, Phil.
Okay.
And this is what we counsel Deborah. And I'd like to use her as an example because she's very, so vivid in my mind and everything she went through. And she's doing so well, too. You say to the child, and as a result of the anger I feel toward it, I want to beat your brains in with a frying pan. I want to stick a pin in your arm.
You're talking to the child that way?
That is exactly right, Phil. And let me say something.
Wow.
Hold on. Let me say something here.
I just want to be clear. You're telling the child, as a result of my anger at what happened to me.
That is right.
I want to beat your brains in, and I want to do these violent things.
That is correct. Now, let me just say something. The child is going to be taken aback, but you immediately follow that up by saying, someday you're going to understand. You know, Phil, when I was a young man, my parents would say to me, someday you're going to understand. And do you want to know something? They never lied to me, and they didn't then. A lot of kids today want all the answers. They want to know why. They want to know now. They don't want to wait till tomorrow. They want to have the experience. They want to know the ins and outs and all of this. And you know as well as I do, Phil, that young people have got to live.
Of course.
When a woman who has, praise Jesus, has had a baby, has gone ahead and had a baby, even though it's the result of rape or incest, and she's angry about that. She might even be angry with her pastor. She might be angry with her church for having talked her into it. I asked Deborah one time, I said, are you angry with me? She said, yes, I am. She said a lot of the things that I say to the child. She couldn't call it her son yet.
She couldn't call it her son?
No, she couldn't. She said a lot of things I say to the child, I hope, happen to you. I'd like to see you. She said to me one time, we had a good laugh. She said, I'd like to see you run over by a trolley car. I said, why? She said, I've seen it in that Malcolm X movie where they put the man's head on a trolley car track. I'd like to see that happen to you. And I just laughed, and she laughed. But
how could you laugh at something like that? That's a viciously violent fantasy.
Because it's coming from a woman that's healing. It's coming from a woman that's healing. Now, she's healing. Now, the child, if the child says, why would you say to me that you want to beat my brains in with a heavy metal object? And you say to him, someday you're going to understand.
But you're not physically violent to the child?
No, you were not.
And this was counseling that you gave to a woman who had been raped by an uncle.
That is correct. That's right, Phil. And you know what? I still know her. I still know her son.
How many years ago?
15 years ago.
Are you counseling other women the same way?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Our ministry is devoted, Phil, to saving the lives of the unborn, and at the same time, not ignoring the very real problem that woman is going to have. You just say to her, you've got to express that. ELT, 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 extended language, extended language of trauma. And you say to that child, now, the way I feel about your father is the way I feel about you. I'd like to kick you to death. That's one that I gave to Deborah because she was very frustrated one night. She said, I was so angry. And I looked at that kid and I realized he's a result of this rape. I said, tell him you want to kick him to death. Kick him to death with heavy metal shoes, heavy metal boots, you know.
Now, are you counseling love? You know,
of course we are, Phil. You know, there is no other kind of counseling. You always counsel love. You always come from love. You always come from
love. How can you come from love and say to a little child, I want to kick you to death?
Because that child is alive, Phil. Understand that.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, that child is alive. That child was earmarked for the abortion bill. And we saved it.
Saved it for a life where, you know.
Well, no, not a life. Not a life. This is part of the emotional trauma language, ETL. So, as the child gets older and understands better, the child, I can tell you what happened to this child that I was counseling. This child got to understand things better when his mother would say to him, I'd like to run a car over top of you. He would say, I understand. This is not me. I mean, I know you hate me, but I could be dead. And I said that to him, too. She may hate you, but you could have been inside a suction tube, literally, Phil, inside a vacuum cleaner bag. So you never know, you know.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, talking to David Casanova, David Casanova Ministries, on this notion that it was proposed here, and it's not new, by this guy running for state senate in Colorado, that a woman has no abortion rights at all, not even in the instance of rape or incest. Not even then. You must have the child. And David Casanova there, he believes that too. He counsels that at his ministry in Long Beach and is talking to us about one young woman that he did counsel. Later on, we have Stephen Bozeller, number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL. And with me is David Casanova from the David Casanova Ministries in Long Beach, California. And Dave and I have been talking about this philosophy that that was expressed by this GOP Senate candidate, Ken Buck, and it's been expressed by others. And we want to get your take on it, too, folks, at 877-876-PHIL. And it's, I know how I feel. I don't agree with you, Reverend, but I don't want to argue with you about it. I mean, but primarily it's this idea that a woman must have this baby even if she was raped or had incest. In other words, there's absolutely no abortion right whatsoever that a woman has.
Well, you know, Phil, I have to agree with that, no. And I know you feel differently. And I can only pray for a time when we all understand and we find a way that all of us can agree with that women can give birth to these children and we can give them a life. But as it is right now, we have to deal with it realistically. I know there's going to be a lot of anger.
Well, let's talk about this woman, Deborah, that you counseled for 15 years from the time she was attacked to the time that she got pregnant, all the way through her pregnancy, through her early years. Tell me a typical phone call or a typical counseling session.
Well, I mean, a lot of times she would bring in her son, and she would say that she cursed the day that she ever met me, that she cursed the day she ever saw this boy, that if she had a bucket of acid, she killed both. I'm telling you the truth now, Phil. If she had a bucket of acid, she'd kill both of us, throw us into an open ditch, and pour acid and lime over top of both of us.
When you say both of you, you and the boy?
Me and the boy. And I would say to her, you know, Deborah, that's pretty powerful language. I think anybody would agree.
Absolutely. It's scary.
Yes, it is. But I'd say to her, you know, that's good. I think that anger is good. I think that anger is really good. And she would say all kinds of hateful things to me. All kinds of hateful things. She'd call me, if I can say the word, I don't know if I can say the word or not.
Well, go ahead.
She'd call me faggot. She'd call me words like that. And I would say to her, you're really angry at your uncle and the man that did this to you. She said, yes, I am. I said, well, say that. And I said, you can't be angry at the uncle. He's not here, so you have to say it to the boy. So I would redirect her anger off of me and the boy and have her direct it exclusively at the boy.
But this is where I have a hard time. She's expressing this anger that she's given birth to this child and that she was raped, and it's terrible, and she's only expressing it toward the child, and I just feel like an innocent child.
Well, here is both the good news and the bad news.
I just feel an innocent child is going to take this and it'd be traumatized by it.
Well, first of all, again, Phil, you know, God bless you for even thinking about the child. You know, people don't even think about the children. But I will say, I'll go back to what I said, which was my parents used to say to me, you know, someday you'll understand. And they were right, but I'll go you one better here. Many of these children, Phil, that are the products of this incest that we're talking about, are mentally, these are young children that are mentally disabled.
Right. A lot of them are?
That's correct. And so when you look at a child who is standing there and he's wearing a T-shirt that says, I don't know, you know, he could be 20 years of age and he's wearing a T-shirt that says Ren and Stimpy on it or something like that. And you say to him, how I wish that I had a baseball bat right now and I could just put you out of my life. That child is not, he's not understanding that.
Well, you're talking about an emotionally disturbed child or a mentally disabled child.
That's correct.
But in this instance, you're saying a 20-year-old man.
Well, but again, if you've had a baby as a result of incest and that and he's grown to be 20 years of age and he's mentally impaired, he'll be standing there in his socks, in his underwear, and a Ren and Stimpy T-shirt, and you can say to that child, I want you to be murdered. Anything hateful, the child won't even know what you're talking about because of the emotional disability.
Wow.
That's right. And I'll tell you something, Phil. We have got to find a way to help women through their rage. And if it means they're saying something like that to a kid that doesn't know, when you say something like that to him, he thinks you're telling him he's going to an amusement park, you know.
I understand. All right, we'll be back here with more of your phone calls and more of Reverend David Casanova on counseling women who've had been raped or had incest on keeping their babies. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL is the number here. We're talking with Reverend David Caruso, who is with the, David Casanova Ministries in Long Beach, California. We're discussing, it's a tough topic, I know, David, the idea that women who've had who've been raped or have had incest must, you know, give birth to their child because it's written in the Bible. I mean, don't you feel sometimes that that's the unreasonable pressure that you're putting women under?
Well, we believe it's still to be the Word of God. I'm very sensitive to the trials and the challenges, I think, of any mother. But you know what? I didn't make this world. You didn't make this world. God made this world. And God told us what we had to do. God told us what we could not do if we wanted to see everlasting glory and love. And so if a woman, even if she's put through that kind of a horrible situation, and I'm a million percent sympathetic to that, she must give birth to that child. And we help her do that, and we help her long after that child is born.
By telling her, In order to deal with the anger she has from what happened to her, to take it out on the kid, you know?
Well, that's the most logical place to do it, because the child is a part of the individual that visited this horror on her. And it's also true that the women I've counseled resent having that child. So say it. Say it. Just say it. Say to that child, I want to push you out of a moving car. Say to that child, I want to shove you out of a window four floors up. Say what you're thinking. Say what you're thinking.
And when the child starts to cry and say, my God, you don't love me.
And then you say, honey, let me tell you something. Someday you'll understand why I said what I said. Someday you'll understand why I said I want to take a knife and I want to do what Charles Manson. That's right. That's right. What Charles Manson did to you. Because that's the real anger, you know.
And the only other thing you've got to tell me, though, is that a lot of times these kids are mentally disabled because they were the product of incest, so they won't understand. But what about the kids that do understand?
The ones that do understand are going to understand better. My experience has always been the kids understand. They say, I know Mom is angry. I know Mom means that. I know it because my father, it was garbage. But now that I know that it was garbage and my mother has a right to be angry, when I get out of here at the age of 18, I'm going to be the luckiest man on earth because I survived my childhood with it, or with her.
Where is Deborah now?
Deborah's in drug counseling because she had a very bad time. But you know what? Her son David is 16 years old. He's alive. He's going to make it to adulthood. We saved a baby.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, as we talk with David Casanova from Casanova Ministries in Long Beach. Here is Norma in Houston, Texas. Norma, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Hi.
Yes, hello.
From listening to this show, I wish I were the counselor instead of David. I don't think David has ever been raped. I've had two babies,
well,
1 year apart, both from rape.
I wouldn't necessarily say, I wouldn't be so sure about what you just said.
Well,
about being raped?
Well, I don't want to comment.
Well, anyway, I'm the exception. I'm not the rule. I've been raped.
Did you have a baby?
in
September, twice.
In September of 1966, I was raped.
Now, have you used ELT? Have you used ETL, I should say, extended trauma language? Have you used that?
No.
Well,
in 19,
this is what we're saying.
In 1967, I had a baby. 3 months later, I was raped again. And 9 months later,
right.
I had a baby.
Well, we can't go through that now. But what we need to do is to get you in touch with that anger, because I can tell you're still angry.
You know what?
And what you need to do is you should have said to those kids that you had, I'd like to throw both of you out of a train, a moving train.
That's totally bullcrap. I would never say that to my babies.
That's how you felt about them, though, and you needed to express that.
I never felt that way about my babies. I loved my babies before they were born. I loved them when they were in the womb. It did not matter to me. It was foreign to me.
You're being honest with me?
Yes, I am. It bothered me that it happened that way, but let me tell you, I never took it out on those boys.
You wouldn't be taking it out on the boys. You would not be doing that. What you would be doing... What's your name again?
Norma.
Norma. This is David. Norma, when you had those boys, you would not be feeling the strain that you're feeling right now, you see, because I can tell. Are you with God? Are you with God?
I hate the men. Yes, I'm with God. I hate the men.
Okay.
I don't hate the babies. That is
so... hate men.
I would never talk
you hate
to
men.
The way you're talking.
You hate... You hate men, and that's not healthy.
No, she didn't say she hates men. She hates the man.
She hates the man? Of course she does. Did you ever tell your boys when they asked who is daddy, did you ever say daddy is a walking sack of garbage? Did you ever say that?
No, I did not. I did not say that
that's
to my baby.
There it is.
Would
that's
not
the mistake you
that.
Made. I knew there was a mistake. That's the mistake you made.
You're wrong.
You are
so absolutely wrong.
Well, tell me why you feel I'm wrong. Tell me why you feel I'm wrong.
Those babies don't need to hear that. They have enough to go through when
I'm coming from love. Coming from love.
You're not coming from love.
I am absolutely coming from love. Why do you think I'm not coming from love?
Because I listened to you on the radio and I did not hear any love. It was love. It was love when I took it from my children. And I tried to hide it from them, and I tried to keep them from ever knowing the truth about what happened.
But you see, what happens is we lose our ability to converse in an emotionally developed way. If you could have said to those kids, seriously, kids, the way I feel about you sometimes, not always, sometimes.
No, I never said
is
that.
I'd like to drown you in a tub. I'd like to drown you in a tub of water, like that lady.
Feel that way about those men.
Let me ask you, Norma. This is Phil. No, this is Phil, Norma. Did you ever feel like you wanted to drown your kids in a tub of water?
No. She's going to lie.
No.
She just said no. She said no.
All right.
There were times when I...
Would you feel better had you said that? Would you feel better had you said that?
No, I absolutely would not have felt better. I wanted
That's
to...
That's the part that I don't have. I got a problem with that. I don't quite believe that, Phil. I'm not saying Norma's lying. I'm not saying she's lying. Please understand.
Psychotic. You're psychotic because you think you know so much about psychiatry. But let me tell
you.
I know about the
Word of God.
Because this has
I know
not
about the Word of God.
You. This hasn't happened to you. This happens to women.
It happened to me in jail.
You know what?
It's different.
My brother.
It's different.
It happened to my brother, too. Look.
All right.
Well, so you're asking me to go back way before I had these two children. But when I was a child, I was molested by a cousin, a first cousin, and he did it to my brother, too, which is something we did not know for years and years and years later until my brother finally told me. But let me tell you, it is different. It is
now,
so...
Now, that cousin, wouldn't you have liked to have said to it, that's what I'm talking about.
I could drown him.
That's what I'm saying.
No, but that's not one of the kids.
Oh, that's not one of the kids.
No, it's not. That was someone that attacked her and her brother.
Well, how old was he? He was a child too, right?
I was six.
How old was the cousin?
Cousin was about 10.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
And
he was a child too.
He had boys with him who were older than him. But the point is, that didn't have anything to do with what happened
if
to me later on in life.
If you had been able to say
children.
Later on to your own children, how I'd love to drown you in a tub, you'd be able to work out the anger that you had.
No, no, she's not. You're talking about the children that she has. She's talking about something else.
I think, Phil, it would have loosened up a lot of what she's dealing with right now. I really do. I really do. Because, you see, if you're able to come to the table with that kind of honesty and say to your child, you know something, you are the product of incest and rape. I love you. I love you. But, what I wouldn't give to throw you out of a truck.
Never say that, and I would never feel that. I love those.
What is the child supposed to take from that if you say, I love you, but I'd like to throw you out of a moving truck?
The child believes that you are expressing some kind of a nuanced love, but you are feeling what you're feeling. It's good for you. It's good for the child.
To hear that he wants to be, that you want to throw him out of a truck.
Like I said, Phil, and I'm sure that Norma was raised the same way. Someday you'll understand. That's what we say to kids.
One of my sons came home this last summer because he was so angry with me because he felt that I had never told him the truth. And I went through the most hell with my son for 6 months. He came home and he lived with me for 6 months. Listen to me. He came home and he lived for 6 months with me, and he wanted to get to know his mother, whom he thought he hated. But when he got
Hold on. Would you, Pastor, please be quiet. I can't hear the lady.
I was right.
I don't hear that you were right.
He went, and he asked the man. I told him the guy's name, and he went, and he was a Houston police cop. He was a cop here in Houston. And he asked him.
You shouldn't have done that, because our police officers don't need that before they go out on patrol.
He said...
Now, that night, that police officer might have gone out and beaten some black man because of what your son did.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Norma, thank you very much for your call. I got to take a break. And I do appreciate the candor and the honesty, and it was an amazing story, and I'm glad you've survived. And you sound like you have tremendous kids, too. How old are your kids now?
My children are 42 and 43 years old.
Wow. Oh, well, congratulations, because sounds like you've weathered the storm there.
Well, Phil, I want to say that you can't dismiss what I was saying. See, you're giving her a lot of love, and that's good. But you can't dismiss what I was saying. She would have been way better off had she said to the boy, you know, your father was garbage, and so are you. Now, she took the boy's... You going to a commercial?
Yes, we're going to a commercial. Anyway, Norma, thank you very, very much. It was great talking with you. And you're quite an amazing woman. 877-876-PHIL. I'm not sure I understand.
What I'm saying, you're giving too much praise, Phil, to someone who hasn't yet proved. I know that she's 42. Or the kids are 40, so she must be in her 80s or something. And I think you didn't give enough chance to what I was saying before you started kissing her rear end.
You know what, Reverend, hold on, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Reverend David Casanova from Casanova Ministries on women who are raped or have incest and must have the children anyway. What do you say to them? How do you counsel them? World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
I can't believe I got tongue-tied.
Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. And on the show tonight with me is I keep saying pastor because we have a Pastor William Rennick, is Reverend.
I've heard Pastor William Rennick. I want to tell you a story, Phil, just real quick, okay?
I just want to let everybody know we're up with Reverend David Casanova from Casanova Ministries, David Casanova Ministries in Long Beach. Go ahead.
I heard your... friend, Pastor William Rennick, and I got such a kick out of this guy talking about going to Jerusalem and meeting the Queen of England, and I had such a kick listening to this guy. I went, when I got to Los Angeles, I was looking for him everywhere, in Bellflower, I wanted to meet him. I wanted to find out what kind of a church he built. He was some kind of a character, and I got to tell you, I had such a good time listening to that.
Well, you know, he's a pastor, but you're a reverend. I don't know if there's a difference.
I think probably the only difference between the two of us is I think he's probably a lot smarter than me. Just the way he sounds, Phil. You know, I have such a kick listening to that.
Well, I appreciate that, Reverend David. We're talking to David Casanova about women who've been raped, who have engaged in. Well, it is rape. I mean, if it's incest against their will, it's rape.
Absolutely, Phil. That is absolutely the truth. The only difference between two is that when it is rape between, like, you, if it's a relative, then there's a good chance the child comes out mentally disabled, and then it doesn't matter what you say to it. But the best way, and you heard the lady, and I don't want to refer back. She sounded like, I agree with you. She sounded like a tremendous lady, Norma. Tremendous lady. I think if she had been honest enough to say to her boys, I love you, but I hope you get drafted and you go to war and die. That's a hateful thing to say.
Oh, my God. You're really trying to get women to think in a whole different direction.
Well, but they're angry anyway. Direct the anger at the most tangible manifestation of what you went through. And that way, you won't resent having these babies that came about as a result of rape. And you won't blame your pastor. You won't blame Reverend Dave. And you won't say, oh, look at the Christian church. They made me have this baby. They made me have this baby. I don't want that to happen. I want you to have a good life. So the best thing to do is for you to look at that child and say, how I wish Andrea Yates had got a hold of you, something like that. And here's the thing, Phil.
Andrea Yates, that's what you said to that lady about drowning her kids.
Here's the thing. Had that woman said that, she would not be the angry lady that I heard on the radio here just a few minutes ago. She's very angry. And if she taught her children how to say who their father was and what a sack of walking garbage it was, imagine how much better off those kids would be today. But she didn't do that. She didn't do that.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. What do you think? Is it better to counsel a woman to have the child even though she's been raped or it's been incest? So long as she is able to express this kind of anger directly at the kids, even to the extent of, I wish Andrea Yates had gotten a hold of you. Let's go to a phone call here. Annie in Houston. Annie, you're on the Phil Hendry, or Ann, rather, excuse me, on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Ann.
Hi, Ann or Annie, either way.
Yes.
Hi,
yes,
Phil.
Ma'am.
How are you?
I'm good,
like
thank
awesome
you.
Man. Now, David,
thank
where
you.
Do you get your degree? Have you been to school for this kind of thing that you're doing, this counseling?
I went to Southern Methodist University. Did I take counseling? No, I did not. I got
did
my theology degree later on.
Did you take any type of psychology?
Well, I'm a Christian minister.
Did you take any kind of psychology? I don't care what mm-hmm. kind of minister you are. To me, you sound like a minister from hell.
Well, you can have your opinion, you know.
Well, absolutely, I can. But you know what? You do not. No, you just listen.
You do not the best
tell
we can.
A child.
With a lot
mm-hmm.
of this white trash that comes in, you know.
Yada, 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 yada. My turn.
And well, now, hold on. I don't think you understand what I do.
No. Ladies first.
I don't think you understand.
Ladies first.
A lot of this trash that comes in.
Let's let the lady talk, okay?
Ladies first.
David, and then we'll hear from you.
Talk to you.
Okay, if you see a lady around here, you let me know.
I'm a lady. And you know what?
Oh, okay, good. Thank you.
You, sir,
thanks for letting me know.
Children deserve, I don't care where they came from, you hate children. You can tell you hate children. And I don't know what kind of parent you had, but
no,
you certainly
not.
Didn't
I
have
do not.
Good parents.
No, I do not hate children. Not at all. Not at all.
You absolutely do. You do not tell a
no,
child.
I do not.
You do not
you
tell a child horrible
that
things.
Woman
no, you
feel
let
her
me
pain.
Talk.
You got to let that woman feel her pain. If you
yes.
think all the times that you've
allowed
a man
no,
to
no, no, no. Yada,
and
yada,
a lot
yada,
of the things you, a lot of the things you've let a man do to you, some women don't want, and they try to resist. And
let's not get.
Well, she's, you know, she called me what she called me.
Absolutely, but what do you know about my past?
Well,
go ahead, tell me about me.
Let's
You're making comments
tell.
On me. Tell me.
All right. Well, I don't want to go there.
Well, what were you saying? You were saying a lot of the things that she's allowed men to do to her, some women don't?
In other words, when you listen to Norma, and she was raised, she was, it was against her will.
I was?
And probably hired a band, you know. So.
And wow. Probably hired a band.
That's right.
To do what?
Go ahead, Ann. What's your comment, Ann?
My comment is that children that are treated the way that he is talking about talking to and treating a child, he is facilitating children to become monsters as they grow up. I believe a child should be able to grow up in a loving, caring home regardless of how it was made, because it had nothing to do with whatever caused it to become. Children deserve to become happy. Happy, healthy.
Did you hire a marching band the first time?
Excuse me.
Your first time with a man. Did you hire a marching band?
Would you? Happy, well-adjusted.
Well-adjusted, productive adult.
Well,
when they grow up.
You're talking about me, right?
You.
I feel I am. Yeah, I'm a well-adjusted, productive adult.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Pro-life, and I'll answer the next question.
He releases this information to a third party.
I've been asked about this a couple times. I think this is a rightly a matter for New York City.
Booty is worse than Mike.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go anywhere to find it, even through the looking glass, through the membrane that separates the dimensions, one from the other. Woo! Anyway, our number 877-876-PHIL. Stephen Bozell joins us. We may have his brother Eric Bozell on the line as well to talk about this. This is an annual thing. The reality of kids being left in cars, hot cars. And when I say hot cars, I mean cars that have been heated by the sun. It was 98 degrees out in the Inland Empire of California not too long ago, about 3 weeks ago. And Mr. Bozell and his wife were both cited misdemeanor child endangerment when their niece, Stephen's niece, Steve and April, I think is his wife's name, was left in the car while they were inside a store doing some shopping. So we're going to talk with them in just a moment. And the same thing happened back in Minneapolis. In fact, the parents of a newborn baby were charged last week with two gross misdemeanors after the child was found crying, strapped in their car in sweltering heat as they shopped at a Minneapolis pharmacy. They were charged with child neglect and child endangerment, and they're both of Minneapolis. The temperatures climbed toward the 90s last Tuesday afternoon. A passerby heard the six-week-old baby crying. And so it goes. Similar situation here with the two-year-old niece of Mr. Bozell. We're going to get him on the line here from Corona, California. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. When we finally take some phone calls, sir, thanks for joining us. And how is your niece?
My niece is fine. She's doing fine. We don't believe that she was ever in any real danger. And the story that you brought up, Mr. Hendry, was a story from Minneapolis that had to do with a family that was they were Hispanic migrant workers who, you know, are not familiar with the law in the United States.
Well, all right, but you are, sir.
Yes, sir, I am.
And you were at the store. Where was this?
Well, it was actually on a frontage road off of Interstate 10. We were turning onto Airport Drive, and we were coming back toward Corona from Ontario, California.
And what were you doing?
Well, we stopped at a store to get a couple boxes of strawberries. The strawberry season. My wife wanted to get some of the strawberries because they're in season. And we went in, and got the strawberries. And when we came out, we had a L.A. County Sheriff and Ontario Police, and they were basically telling me that I'm, you know, that I left my niece in the car and this and that, you know, and I told them that we had just inside, and that and then they explained to me what the situation was, that that it was hot outside and that the inside of the car, the windows was rolled up, and that's when I explained that she was not in any danger. I would not be in any, I'm not a baby or anything, but I would not be in any danger were I, even if I was not a baby and I was in the car. And my attorney had been on the line, talked to the district attorney, or the assistant district attorney about it.
Wait, hold on. This is a ticket you got, right?
Yeah, yes, sir, it is, but I don't care if it's a ticket. I have been, my wife and I both have been the subject of, and the object of commentary and ridicule on local television. And we have been portrayed as a bad parent.
All right, let me ask you, this is your niece, your brother's daughter?
Yes, sir.
And why did you have the baby with you?
We had the baby with us because my brother had taken my two children. He and his wife had taken my two children to Disneyland that day, and they did not want to take the infant, Rosalie, with them. So we said, well, we'll have Rosalie with us, and you take April and Steve with you. And so they went down to Disneyland.
Okay, so they just wanted to be with their niece and nephew, and you guys had your niece.
That is correct, yes, sir.
Okay, so your wife and you and the baby, and you are getting off the freeway, coming home, and you stop at a store where they're selling. It's one of those roadside fruit stands, right?
Yes, sir. They have a lot of them around here, and especially out here in near San Bernardino County, where there's a lot of farms and everything, and you can buy, walnuts or watermelon or something. And we went in and got two boxes of these strawberries. When I came out, there was a San Bernardino sheriff, and I said, can I help you? And they had Slim Jim my car open, and I said, what did you do? And he said, we had to Slim Jim the car open to get this baby out. And I said, why? And he said, because of the heat. He said it's over 100. He said he told me it was over 100 degrees inside the car. And I said to him, I understand, but now you're saying in front of all these people that I'm like one of those people you see on TV whose kid just died because of the heat. And I'm not one of those people, because I had read the story you're talking about, Mr. Henry, about the, you know, those Mexicans. And so I said, what do you intend on doing? He said, I'm going to cite you for child endangerment. And now it is a misdemeanor. And
all right, that's what I was going to ask you. It's a misdemeanor, and you gave it to your lawyer, and your lawyer's talking to an assistant DA in Los Angeles. Why?
Because I'm going to have this ticket taken off my record. We do not deserve it. I did not endanger any child. I talked to my brother about it. I talked to my sister-in-law about it, and they don't get it either. They're totally fine with what happened. And
your brother and your sister-in-law were fine with the baby in a car over 100 degrees. How long were you in the store?
It couldn't have been more than 20 or 25 minutes, because it's a roadside stand, but it was very crowded that day because, it was a very nice day. It's summertime, and people want to get the strawberries that are on. When they come into season, they got a big one. They have a big, not a big one, but they've got big strawberries. And that's when I had said to my wife, you want to get some?
Yeah. All right, well, let me ask you this before you go any further. You say you talked to the police officer. You were stunned. You couldn't believe the cop was there. You couldn't believe that they were accusing you of this. What did you tell the officer?
Well, I told the officer that, first of all, that I, my wife, my brother, everyone in my family, even my in-laws, we all come from native blood. We have native blood. What that means is Cherokee on my side, my wife's side, Cherokee and Chippewa and Iroquois Nation, and we have Indian in us, and so that means we can take the heat way better. And I said, if that's what you're talking,
wait, did you tell the cop that it's because you're part Indian?
Well, Mr. Henry, Yes, I am part Indian. I'm hoping you don't have a problem with that.
No, I don't have a problem with that at all, but you told the officer you're part Indian, and therefore your niece is part Indian?
I didn't say I'm part Indian, and therefore she's part Indian. I said to the officer, I said, my niece, first of all, we're Indian, I'm not an Indian. I mean, to look at me, you'd think I was, Swedish, because I've got blonde hair. But you can't let that fool you. I am an Indian. And
you have blonde hair, though, huh?
Yes, sir. I mean, that happens. It's a recessive gene. But I said, her, me, him, we're all Indian, and my nieces, and we are able to withstand the heat. I said, if that's the problem you're having, take a look at this child. She's doing fine. He said, I don't think so. She looks like she could have been overheating. I said, why? He said, her face is red. I said, of course her face is red. It's hot today. And even if I'd had a window open, her face is going to be red, because then with the window open, the sun gets in. And now you're talking sunburn, But he wouldn't hear it and gave me a ticket. There's people standing there. My wife saw, and I saw, and I took note of two other people that gave me a look which was of actual disgust, if not just pure hatred, and I could see it in their faces. Ever since that day, we've been the subject of two articles in a local paper. We've been used as an example of people that don't know how to take care of children, and I have not been able to go to work for the last 2 weeks because I'm emotionally, I don't want to be seen because of what I've been through.
And well, I don't understand. Emotionally, you don't want to be seen. Why?
I don't want to be subjected to no more emotionalism and ridicule, so I can't even go outside of the house.
How is your wife taking it?
My wife is, she's a woman, so she's going to be doing worse than me. She has been able to go outside the house, but only because she had to pick, our daughter up from, my daughter attends a camp counselor. But you can't drive yet, so we've been humiliated, and we are asking before something serious happens that the L.A. District Attorney dismiss this charge, expunge it from my record, and put out a statement to the media that we're Indians, or that they did not know of the part Indian that we are, and that...
Mr. Bozell, I don't want to interrupt you, sir, but it sounds to me like you are, and I'm probably right here, and I'm sure you would agree with me, it sounds to me like you are putting your entire defense on the fact that you are a part Native American. Is that right?
I'm not putting my entire defense, as you call it, Mr. Allen. What I'm doing is I'm saying to the people of L.A. County D.A., my niece was never in any trouble. My niece was never in any trouble, even though the car was over 100 degrees, however they said. And if they say, how do you know? I say, well, for a number of reasons, I love my niece. I would rather die than have anything happen to that little baby. And that's the truth. And then the other thing is that, but she's also a part Indian.
And all right. Well, you've given an excuse, or not an excuse, you've given reasons that I'm sure, plenty of parents have given. I love her more than anything. I would never let anything happen to her. But the fact is, this officer had to do what he had to do. You understand that, right?
He had to do what he had to do, but the minute he heard me explain to him, she's okay on account of the fact that there's Indian and Hispanic, too. A lot of Indians, you probably don't know, a lot of them are also Mesquite Indian, could be Mexicans, and they are better in hot weather. And so I said, you can't just say the kid's going to die because the kid may have, Hispanic or Mexican in it, so it lives longer or can take the heat.
And you're saying this to this police officer. I can well imagine the police officer just looking incredulously at you and probably not really buying it, man.
Well, somebody better start buying it, because what do you mean not buying it?
I mean, it's his job. He's got to give you the ticket.
No, I know he's got to give me the ticket. But I'm saying now to the DA in L.A. County, get rid of the ticket, because I've been humiliated. And people didn't have their facts straight. That's all I'm saying.
So that you never should have gotten this ticket?
No, sir, never. Never.
Because you explained that your niece has Native American blood.
That is correct.
And can take the heat better.
Yes, sir.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. We're talking here with Mr. Stephen Bozell. He is a construction contractor from Corona, California. And he's saying basically that he should never have been charged with child endangerment because his niece, who had been left in a car while he and his wife went shopping, the niece is in the car. It's over 100 degrees inside the car. And he's saying that the child was never at risk because his family has Native American blood. All right, so we've got this time of the year where kids are being left in automobiles. Here's one man who feels he's been humiliated and wrongfully charged, even though the child was in the car for 20 minutes with the windows rolled up and it was 98 degrees outside. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with your phone calls and Mr. Stephen Bozell next on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Okay. Yeah, you messed it all up. That's not what I said. Butchered it.
Phil Hendry.
We're here with Mr. Stephen Bozell. And Mr. Bozell, I want to ask you, because my engineer has asked me if you could speak into your phone a little loudly.
Yes, sir.
Maybe not that loud, but we're having a little problem hearing you.
I'll try to get to another room.
Well, you don't have to go into another room, sir. I think it's just a matter of just talking into the phone.
Yes, sir. My wife did.
Okay, hold on for a minute. Are you there?
You cut out a little bit. I moved around. I better sit down. I'm on a cordless phone.
Okay, that might have been the problem. Sir, we've got a lot of people who want to talk to you, and I certainly do not in any way, shape, or form would I say that you're a bad father, a bad parent, and I know you love your niece very much. You say that your brother and your brother's wife was okay.
Yeah, they were fine with it. I said to them, what I said to the cop, I said, you know that we're Indian, or we have Indian, and they went, yeah, my brother, I'm a little bit nervous.
That's all right.
My brother had not thought about it. He said, yes. And I said, well, the police officer, he cited me for misdemeanor child endangerment. And my brother was looking at me like, you know, what happened? And I said that April and I went into the store, and we got a couple of the big boxes of strawberries, and it was about 20 minutes because it was very crowded in there, and we came out, and I saw a San Bernardino sheriff right next to the car, and he told me that it was child endangerment, and I showed my brother the ticket, and I said, that's a serious fine, and I'm going to need for you to man up a little bit here, and so he understood. Yeah.
You're saying your brother's going to split the cost of the ticket?
Oh, yeah. He understands that if it hadn't been for him, you know, going off with my... They got to have all of... You know, he took my nephew and my niece to go down to Disneyland, and I didn't get to go. And not that I wanted to go or anything, but, I mean, I would like to have gone, but we didn't, and we kept this, you know, his kid. So I said, I need for you to step up to the plate, and that's what he did.
Your brother is going to help you pay for this ticket, if
if the DA doesn't take it off. I mean, we're demanding the DA take it off, you know. But if not, I can't carry the load of this.
How much is the ticket?
It's pretty expensive. I don't know if April. Yeah, she doesn't have it. I know it's pretty expensive. It's like over $1,000.
All right, 877-876-PHIL with Mr. Stephen Bozell, who was cited for misdemeanor child endangerment, leaving his niece in the car while he went in shopping, and he says that it was not a problem at all, that the police overreacted. Sue in Akron, Ohio, listening on WHLO. Go ahead, Sue, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, ma'am.
This guy needs a checkup from the neck up, I'll tell you that. No baby ever should be left alone in a car. Why couldn't his wife stayed in the car with the baby? And he should have gotten arrested and taken away. How dare he? I'm part Indian, too, and I can't take the heat. He's despicable. His wife is despicable, and he should be shamed. And he should be sitting in his house ashamed. He's disgusting.
I don't know whether you're Indian or not, ma'am. I can tell you that we're Chickamee or Chickwa.
No, Cherokee.
I'm Cherokee too.
Yeah, okay, well, so, you don't use that as an excuse to leave a baby welfare in a car.
I'm not saying it's an excuse. I'm saying, first of all, ma'am, the car door was locked. First of all, the car door was locked, okay? So there ain't nobody going to come and take my baby. Number two.
Yeah, that makes the baby bake in the heat, okay? You're sick. Your brother's sick for taking your side.
Because we locked the car? Because the doors was closed or because we locked it?
You should have left your wife in the car with the baby, okay? You're wrong.
My wife is not part Indian.
It doesn't matter what your nationality is. You're wrong. And I hope you get further charges against you. You're bad. You're bad. And stay in your house and be ashamed because you're a sick person. Goodbye.
I think you're wrong as a Native American to be speaking to another one like that.
Do you identify as a Native American?
Sir, after what that woman put me through right now, you're asking me about what?
You don't identify as a Native American, do you?
For the purposes of that San Bernardino cop, you know what? Let me say this. For the purposes of that San Bernardino cop, I'm Geronimo, because my daughter, my niece, I love very much. And when I said to him that baby can take the heat because of her heritage, I wasn't making up a story. And that lady there asked why was my wife not left in the car, because my wife is not part Native American. My wife is Norwegian by ancestry. And she has the blonde hair like I do, except she really is a Norwegian. And my wife would have died. My wife would have died sooner than that baby. That's one of the reasons why my wife didn't go stay. I didn't keep it in the car. I took it with me.
All right, 877-877-876, Phil, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. When a baby's left in the car, there are differences. There's misdemeanor child endangerment. That's what Mr. Bozell has been charged with. He said he shouldn't even be charged with that. The baby's a native
Phil,
native blood child. 877-876 Phil. We'll be back.
Phil Hendry.
And we're back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Don't forget our website is philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. You can get live streaming video of the show right now. You can listen to live streaming audio. You can get all of the downloads available through our website, through iTunes, through Bookmark, and I'm sure a lot of other places. So you can download today's show. And also, we've got another classic clip up. In iTunes for download. 877-876-PHIL with Mr. Stephen Bozell. And we are talking about this child endangerment misdemeanor, a citation that you got, Mr. Bozell, 2 weeks ago there in Ontario. Your niece, 2 years of age, left in the car over 100 degrees. Now, I know that you feel you've been wronged by the police. Okay?
Well, yes, sir. And let me...
Well, hold on. I know that you feel you've been wronged by the police, and I know that you feel that that the baby was not in that much danger. But do you see the police officer's side to this? He can't not do nothing. He cannot just stand there and do nothing. He has to do something.
I know, by all means. But when I explained to him, and I even went one better with the police officer. It was a San Bernardino. There was an L.A. County sheriff there, and I should say, and there was an Ontario cop there, and I looked at this cop and I said to the cop, I said, I'm nervous, I forgot what it is. Oh, I said to him, you can rehydrate the baby, you can put water in it and I'm sure it'll be fine, but how do you rehydrate my reputation? You can't just put water into it and it'll be okay, like a baby is okay if you put water in a baby. Have my reputation, and just like a cop, you know, he's staring at me with his mouth open, you know.
Well, I probably would too. I'm not sure I know what it is you're saying.
What I'm saying is the baby is fine, the baby is okay, there's nothing wrong with a baby now, but my reputation is I can't go outside my house for fear that somebody down at the store is going to say, I saw you on the news, aren't you that guy that tried to murder a baby. I didn't try to murder anything.
No, but nobody's saying that. What we're trying to say here is this is a dangerous time of year to carry children and animals around in a car, and it's hot, and we have to all be mindful of that. And you were reminded of that by this police officer, but you keep saying the baby was never in any danger.
Mr. Henry, the child was never in any danger because of the Native Americanism.
I know you're talking about your Native American blood, and I don't even know that there's any basis in reality in that to say I'm an Indian, so therefore I don't feel the heat as much. Let's go to Wanda. Wanda, you're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Mr. Stephen Bozell. Go ahead, please.
Hello. I have a question for him. What would he do, or what would he have done if the child had died? Because recently on the news, a child wandered away from her mother, went to the car, was in the car for like 30 minutes, and the child died. The mother was not really prosecuted. She was looking for her child, but the child wandered away. She wasn't left in a car. And I think he should just shut up and pay $100,000 and be thankful that the kid didn't die. He's going to have to pay burial expenses. He's going to have to go to prison for the rest of his life.
The story you just told, I couldn't follow it. Some kid wandered away and then died. I don't understand that.
I'm not sure where they were at, but I know that.
Breaking up there, Wanda. Go ahead.
If I came out to the car and the child was dead, I'd ask the police to investigate who did it.
Well, what do you mean who did it? What about the heat?
I'm telling you right now, the heat was not going to kill that child. No way, no way, no way. And the police officer, who, you know, some Barney Fife, you know, guy.
Don't do with the Barney Fife.
Well, this guy thought he had, you know, he had John Dillinger, you know. And I said, you know, what's the problem? He goes, this baby's in the car, and it's 100 degrees. I said, yes, I understand, but it's an Indian. And I thought from that point on, he would be okay with it. And
you said it's an Indian?
I said, yeah. I said, it's got Indian in it. And that's when I thought he'd be okay. And he said, no way, friend. That doesn't get me on my knees. And that's when he wrote me the ticket.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Ruth in Boston. Go ahead, Ruth. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I just wanted to make a comment, if I may. Actually, it's a couple of comments. I've heard enough of this guy. This guy lacks the good common sense that God gave him. He is irresponsible.
You heard the part about the Indian.
Sir, I've heard a lot of excuses about you being Indian. I don't buy it. I want to tell you something. You can look this up on the Internet if you want, because it's all over the Internet. You look up sometime. Do a Google search about putting a hot child and a child in a hot car, and it says right here.
Did you put in the Google about if it's an Indian?
Let me finish.
You didn't do that.
I've been listening to your garbage all night, and I'm going to say my piece now. And I just want to let you know, it says right here that babies have an respiratory system. They don't have the ability to repel heat, and their organs shut down fast. To leave a baby in a hot car is a recipe for disaster. It says here, a vehicle will rise an average, the temperature will rise an average of 19 degrees in an enclosed car in 10 minutes, in the first 10 minutes. And it said, when the air temperature is only 70 degrees outside, the inside of a car is 120 degrees. Sir, what you were doing is cooking your baby. I don't care if it's Indian or not.
Wikipedia. You got it off of Wikipedia,
and
it's not true.
And I just want to tell you, listen. Wait. You need to be put behind bars.
Everybody knows that Wikipedia is a lot of lies.
All right, hold on. Yeah, I believe that Ruth is saying some things here that are very valuable, Mr. Bozell. And
well, it'd be valuable if that's what I did.
Hold on for a minute. Babies are, you know, they're not grown-ups. They're babies, and they're not fully developed, and they're not like human beings that are fully developed, and they don't know what's going on with them, and they can't get out of the car, and they can't go get water. You know, and you saying that infant has Native American blood, well, that may well be, but it's still an infant. Maybe an adult Native American would be able to withstand the heat better than, say, an Anglo or European American. I don't know. But an infant is an infant.
You don't think an Indian baby's stronger?
Stronger than what? Stronger than another infant? They're still children. And that's the point that we're trying to... I didn't mean to interrupt Ruth, but that's the point we're trying to make here. That they're still children, and they still need to be taken care of that way.
Okay, but you haven't addressed... Is that lady still there?
She hung up.
Oh, man. Boy, that takes guts. She hung up, so she spent 15 minutes, bending me over a chair in the cafeteria. And
excuse me? She didn't spit 15 minutes?
It felt like it. It felt like 15 minutes to be biting the towel. I wanted to say this, that if people...
Biting a towel?
If people were, if you're not there and you don't know what's going on, then you shouldn't talk about what was there. I knew that my niece was fine, and I told the police officer. And the police officer said, well, she's all hot and red and everything. I said, okay, get her some water. Now, I'll say again what I said at the very beginning. I know that my niece could get water. I know that my niece could get hydrated with the water, and you could get fruit juice and whatever, you know, those Cool Pops or however they want to do it. But who gives a Cool Pop to my reputation? You know, if you want to put it in a silly way, who gives my reputation a Cool Pop? Who gives my reputation Kool-Aid? You know, and my reputation, just what you heard, that lady took me like I was some yard bitch.
Would you watch your language, sir? And I understand what you're saying, that your humiliation is so profound that you won't be able to go to work and so on and so forth, and that everyone's making a big deal out of this kid and we should be making a big deal out of you. But I think that you're the adult, the infant is the infant, and that is where the twain doesn't meet. Here is Frank on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Frank.
Oh, man, I've been sitting here. I pulled off. I had to hear this. This is something I ain't never heard before in my life. You know, if he had been away from the car and somebody would have stolen the car with the kid in the car, just because he's a Native American, is that going to protect the child from being kidnapped or killed? You know?
Sir, the car is locked. The car was locked, sir. And
well, I'm just, you know,
lock your car. Don't you lock your car?
Officer, if the police officer can get into with a Slim Jim, man, I mean, anybody can get into your car. I mean, give me a break, man.
That's true.
This is ridiculous, man.
No one's going to stop a police officer from using a Slim Jim.
You talk about a cold pop, I got a set of brass knuckles sitting in the freezer waiting, because that's the cold pop you need for leaving your child in that car while you went and got strawberries. You're talking about getting your record cleaned, expunged. You're more worried about your reputation than your own niece, you know. And, you know, God's
that's
looking
what
down
it sounds
and
like,
staring
yeah.
at you. And
no,
you
sir.
Know what?
No, sir.
You'll pay, God
no, sir.
Is looking down at you and saying, my, God probably said, I made a mistake.
I
made a moron.
No. All I'm saying is, I knew my niece was going to be okay. Everything was fine
yeah.
about it. We went in. Let me ask you something, sir. You know, when the police officer came, my niece wasn't dead. My niece was alive.
Okay.
Well,
if the police officer hadn't come, how long was the cop there? Let me ask you this. How long was the cop there before you guys came out? How long was the cop there, seriously?
Probably about 10 minutes.
10 minutes. That means that the door got opened 10 minutes before you would have opened it. That police officer could very well have saved her life.
No, sir. If he had, then how come it was a misdemeanor?
I don't know. I don't know what the law dictates in that regard. I don't know why you got misdemeanor. He cited you. He gave you a ticket and let you go. Is that it?
Yes, sir. That's exactly it. And
California has crazy laws, but I'm going to say one thing. They got this one right when they wrote that citation, you know.
Yeah, okay. Except when I told the cop, you don't need to write the citation because of the... I guess you're going to laugh, but it happened. See, this man's laughing. And let me tell you something.
I've been around the world. I've been in, you know, every country and, you know, and everything, and I've just never heard
okay.
such...
And you've never seen a kid in a car. You've never seen a kid left in a
yeah,
car.
In this country, Steve, we've had a lot of kids die from there. There may be kids in cars all over the world. In the United States, what we've done is we've decided to make it illegal. We hold the parents responsible. Children have died. Animals have died. We realize you can't do that, okay?
Well, look, I don't need to be lectured. I told the cop that my niece was an Indian.
And why did you call the Phil show? Because the Phil's, you know, I just don't understand.
Because I have had my reputation.
Wham, the butter man, you know, I mean.
Well, okay,
good
you know,
Lord.
I hope you never have a cop tell you something that's unjust, and you go out and try to find some friends, and everybody tells you to go pound.
Well, I'm going to tell you what. It ain't going to be because I left my child in a car. I guarantee you that.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's what you think. But you
well,
don't
my
know,
kids are grown. My kids are grown.
Are you married? Okay, you got grandkids? Are you married? If your wife ever says pull over and get some strawberries, you better hope there ain't a kid in the car.
What does that mean?
You know what? Both of you guys can. I hope you both rot. I hope you both rot, come back to life, and rot again.
Oh, he hung up. All right. Thank you, Philip. Or Frank, rather. Frank, thank you very much. I don't know whether can we get him back on?
No, he's dead. He's gone. He's all messed up. It's kind of like in Night of the Living Dead. No, they're dead. They're all messed up.
Okay, I got it. Who are you talking about?
Your callers.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Officer who discovered this baby, Mr. Stephen Bozell, with us. His niece was discovered by a L.A. County sheriff who found the baby in the back of Mr. Bozell's car. This was his niece. It was 98 degrees out in the Inland Empire that day, and it meant that it was well over 100 degrees inside the car. And we have Stephen Bozell on the line with us here. Now, this was a police officer that had to find your niece.
I refuse to believe that. I think it was probably called in by someone who, you know, I should, you know, let me tell you, it was called in by someone who reads a lot of comic books and was watching all America's Most Wanted and think they had Ted Bundy or something. That's what I think that is. Once I said that I'm an Indian, that cop should have backed off. But instead he goes and he gives me this ticket, and now for the last 2 weeks, if people are looking at me like I've got leprosy.
So you really, you haven't been able to go to work?
I can't walk out the front door with someone staring at me like I've, you know, like my nose is coming off my face or my fingers are.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call in Hagerstown, Pennsylvania. Listening on WEEO is Brenda. Brenda, hi. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. Yes, my question,
good morning,
like
good
I said, are you still there?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. My question to the gentleman is, if there was two adults there, as he's indicated, why did they not either stay with one adult, stay with the child in the vehicle, or take the child with them into the store?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question. And first of all, my wife would be the one that would stay with the baby. But she's sweet. She's Swede or Norwegian. That means that her, as a European American, she can't take the heat. Okay. And that would mean that I'd come out of that car, or I'd come out of that store with strawberries, and I'd have a niece that was doing fine and a dead wife. Because the niece doesn't know enough to open. You're not going to get a niece. You can't get a baby to open a car door. Obviously.
Well, I don't think
anyone's going to. Yeah.
Are you not familiar?
What does that mean?
What?
Can I ask? What is that supposed to mean, Steve?
What do you mean?
Your wife would be dead. Wouldn't she get out of the car?
I don't know if it comes over you so rapidly that you just die. So my wife is being, and the lady asked the question. I'm talking to the lady, Mr. Hendry. I've been called every name in the book. So anyway, ma'am, to answer your question, my wife is a Norwegian, or not, she was born in America, but she is Norwegian on account of that's where they came from. She would be dead. Yes, ma'am.
I mean, let me ask you this. How old is your wife, may I ask?
My wife's 35.
Okay, are you not familiar that children and elderly meaning above 55 years old, are more susceptible to the heat? I'm sorry that, apologize for your wife being from a foreign country, or, I mean, we all are, basically, but I don't see where that's relevant to what's going
on
here.
My wife being from Norway, actually, she's Norwegian because there's African-American, there's African blood and Norwegian blood. So she's Norwegian. So, yeah.
What do you mean Norwegian?
That's Norwegian and African. So she has some ability to withstand the heat because of the African part, but not enough, like my niece does, who's probably got way more Indian in her than my wife's got Norwegian, or I mean has got more African. So my wife is going to die, and she'll die slow, and it'll be painful. Now,
I really don't understand that, sir. I mean, I have...
What are you talking about, Steve? I didn't mean to interrupt you, Brenda, but let me get to the point here. The lady just mentioned something. Babies are weaker than adults.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Okay, but what about... All right, you don't want me to say it, but what about a Norwegian baby?
What do you mean a Norwegian baby?
I'm glad you think a dead child's funny.
You know what? This is the first time you've said anything about that child, Mr. Bozell. Your pity has been reserved for yourself throughout this entire...
Excuse me?
Yes, sir. Throughout this entire conversation, your pity has been reserved for yourself. You haven't gotten enough understanding. You've got everybody in the neighborhood hates you. The cop got it wrong. You've got this ticket. You can't go to work.
Well, I'd like to ask the lady, is that how I'm coming off to you, ma'am?
Go ahead.
Okay, do I sound like I'm all stuck up and I think that my you-know-what doesn't spell?
Well, I'm sorry, but yes, you sound like the sympathy is going towards you. I mean, I think you got off lightly if you just got a misdemeanor. I mean, children are dying every day, animals and children every day with the extreme heat that we are having
in the
United States. And it don't take 15, 20 minutes for them to die.
Well, I give up. I tried to find someone to see my way on this.
Mr.
Well,
Bozell.
I apologize.
Nobody is, yeah.
I tried to get someone to see my way on this.
Mr. Bozell, it isn't that people don't want to see anybody's way. It's that we have to use our sense. And when it comes to an infant, a two?
My niece is two.
Two what?
I don't know. 2 months or two. I don't know what it is.
2 years, right?
Yeah, I guess.
What do you mean you guess?
I don't know. I don't know what a 2-month-old looks like compared to a two.
Well, a 2-month-old is going to be an infant carrying around in a papoose or something.
A papoose? So you're making fun of my Native Americans?
All right. Thank you very much, ma'am, for your call, Brenda. Good talking with you.
Does that mean that I'm too weird to talk to?
Yeah, it does.
Okay, I'm too weird. I'm too weird. Not too crazy. I'm too weird to talk to.
Yes, that's right. Too weird.
Because I said papoose.
Yeah, because you said papoose and then Norwegian.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
This is a woman who put her stuff on your site.
I've been asked about this a couple times. I think this is a matter.
It's incredibly dangerous, and it's dangerous to our troops.
I saw a man expose himself.
I was born of a whore and bred as an assassin.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We're out here at El Pacifico. We're out here on the furthest western edge of this magnificent thing called America. We're out here keeping our eye on the water, you know, keeping our eye. See any gunboats out there?
I don't see no lights moving on the water.
All right, man. Welcome to our show where truth is our bitch and we'll go anywhere to find it through the looking glass and beyond. And visit our website if you want to know what we're talking about at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. When you go to our website, you'll find live streaming video of our show, live streaming audio. You'll find downloads, all kinds of downloads, downloads available at iTunes, downloads available on your iPhone if you want, downloads on your iPod. And you're also going to discover that we have an archive that goes back many years of the greatest radio show, we think, on Earth. That's philhendryshow.com. Now, let's see. Coming up this hour, Wyclef Jean will run for president of Haiti, which that's not really a story we're going to do, bud. So,
I thought I'd promo it.
Well, okay. I mean, maybe we will. Whoopi gets into it with Radar Online and their vice president, which we will talk about. And other news, 877-876-PHIL. Now, and we're not going to do the dog story either, so you can get rid of that one.
Well, what do you want me to do?
Just get rid of that story, okay? I'm not going to read it. Investigators probing Mel Gibson for domestic violence are looking at a secret email he sent ex-lover Oksana Grigorieva to determine if it provides an explanation for the actor's erratic behavior. In the email sent the day after an explosive January 6th confrontation with his one-time lover, the Lethal Weapon star wrote, quote, "The tranquilizers only make me nuts." It was an apparent reference to pharmaceutical drug use. No kidding. That story is from Radar Online. And we also have the guy from Radar Online, the VP, who was on The View, and he was talking with Whoopi Goldberg. And, you know, it's almost, when we say the name Whoopi Goldberg, people, oh, well, Whoopi Goldberg. Some people may think that she doesn't have anything valid to say, but I actually agree with her. However, I don't think Whoopi is all that articulate when she's making the points that she wants to make. I'm sorry, but I just don't. Now, we had this discussion, right, bud? You say that what?
I agree with Whoopi Goldberg's statement. What if people want to listen to it up for and everything?
Well, yeah, I do too.
Okay, and I do too. But what I'm saying is the Mel Gibson story is going to be the Mel Gibson story, and people are going to be interested in it, and that's just all there is to that. It's what you do with the Mel Gibson story.
Yeah, but I think Whoopi Goldberg did a good thing.
Yeah, she's trying to say that it's pretty sad that people focus on this story. And I agree with her that it is sad that people focus on this story for some of the reasons that they focus on it for. To watch Mel Gibson die, you know, to watch him implode and die, to watch the horror of Hollywood gone bad, to just listen to him scream and make funny tapes with it and put it on YouTube. All of that stuff is it may be for professionals a good way of constructing some sort of a satire. For the average person who doesn't really know what it is that compels them, other than they just love the gruesomeness of it, I don't see the point. Now, if you hear this guy losing his mind and you decide, wow, that sounds like me, maybe I need to go and get some medicine. If it actually helps some poor slob out there recognize that he sounds kind of like this and maybe he better go and seek a psychiatrist's help before he flips his lid because he don't want to go the way of Mel Gibson, that's also a very valuable thing. But of all of these groups, man, Radar Online has next to no excuse.
Now, see, I don't understand that. Why do you say that?
They just don't, because Radar Online has dug into this. I know that they're a gossip site, you know, and I draw into question gossip sites.
Yeah, but people are going to look at a gossip site and go, I want to see what's going on in Mel Gibson. You're never going to be able to stop people do that.
I understand that, bud, but I'm saying I think that's something we have to ask ourselves as human beings. For Radar on, for us to discuss the relative merits of Mel Gibson's behavior is probably good. And you may say, well, Radar Online put the stuff out there so that we can have this discussion. Bullcrap. Radar Online put the stuff out there because that's what they do. They intrude on people's privacy. They inflict themselves on people who are in desperate straits, in terribly traumatic situations. They expose it. They don't care how, they don't care when, and they don't care who gets hit. They are like TMZ and all these other gossip sites. They have one purpose and one purpose only: dig as deep as you can, get as private as you can, and put it out there into the rays of the sun. And they think they're serving the public interest. And I don't say that, man.
Well, how can you say that, man, and then say that, well, we're having a really good discussion?
Because what happens is when a Radar Online takes this garbage and throws it out there into the sun, we have to stand there and look at it and smell it and deal with it. You understand?
Yeah, but it's good if they put the garbage out there.
No, it isn't good. Garbage is garbage. Where do you put garbage?
Out in the dump.
That's exactly where you put garbage. You don't stand there and stick your nose in it and sniff it and say, yep, that's garbage. Too bad we got garbage. Isn't it terrible we have garbage? What we do is we sit there and go, boy, smell that garbage, man. People ought to take the garbage out sooner. Maybe people should take the garbage out later. Hey, that smells like Mel Gibson's garbage. It's a lot of conversation that we don't need to have.
What about what you said about a guy, if you hear Mel Gibson, and he think he melt down too?
What?
What'd you say, man?
I said, what about if you say a guy heard that he's going to have a meltdown too?
Oh, if a guy's going to hear that and he thinks he needs to go to a doctor?
Yeah.
You know, but I said that because I had to find some value, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, now, see, that I don't understand. You don't think that's going to happen?
No, I don't. I don't think it's going to happen at all. I don't think there's any guys out there listening to this dude screaming that are going to say, wow, that sounds like me. I better go to a doctor. It ain't going to happen. I don't have that much faith in the human race. I got faith, not that much. What happens is this. They're going to hear it and go, see, that guy's pissed off like me.
That's being cynical.
No, it's not being cynical. All right. Here is David Perrell, vice president of Radar Online. Congratulations, man. And he talks with the ladies of The View. He's asked where he got the tapes.
I just have to ask you this question. Do you? It's twofold, actually. Do you think that it would have been the firestorm that it turned into had you not put
it
on?
Wait a minute, this isn't it. Wait a second. Gosh darn it. Let's start all over again. David Perrell, vice president of Radar Online, talks with the ladies of The View. He's asked where he got the tapes.
That's the question everybody asks.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you the real answer other than a lot of hard digging, good reporting, good editors, and took a long time.
Okay, so obviously either Oksana gave them to you or her sister or something like that.
Okay, yeah,
we know Mel didn't give them to you.
That would be interesting.
Okay, second question. Did you pay for them?
No, we did not. We have not paid for them. But I'll tell you, I would pay for them. We would license tapes. We would license photographs.
Yeah.
Have no problem with that. In this case, no money has changed hands.
And it will change hands, though, because they're going to say eventually, okay, you got it, right? I see all this stuff. Now let's have some money. He promised to pay. Don't worry about it. And somebody's going to get some money down the road.
Yeah, but he said he didn't pay nobody yet. What's the point?
Yeah, if you haven't paid them yet.
The deal is, let me have the tapes. We'll air them and see what kind of response we get, and then we'll pay. That's what I think. Whoopi implies that Radar Online only released the audio to further their own website. Well, Whoopi, okay.
I just have to ask you this question. It's twofold, actually. Do you think that it would have been the firestorm that it turned into had you not put it on? I mean, why did you put it out there if not to make scandal to continue Radar Online's legs?
Because it's a news story. Because it's a celebrity who's involved in a criminal investigation. You've got the L.A. County Sheriff's Department. You've got a woman who says she's a victim of domestic violence.
A criminal investigation.
That would not have ensued had it not been for your tape. He would have gotten away with it. Now then.
Yeah, see, that's important, too.
You know what, bud? I'm not saying that isn't important. I just wonder whether or not the investigation was going on. You know what I'm saying? She'd already reported it to the cops. All right, so there's a criminal investigation. That doesn't have anything to do with this guy screaming his guts loose over all manner of things that have nothing to do with that, like the fact that she's taken his money or he thinks she is, like the fact that his wife's got half of everything, like the fact that he's losing his mind. Actually, it is pretty interesting.
Yeah, I told you.
All right, anyway, here is Perrell defending the site to Whoops.
What I'm asking you is why would you further something, because you got a lot out of it too, a lot of hits on Radar Online, so this is really about you all as well. So what's the deal? What are you really doing?
This is reporting the news. That's what we do. We are an entertainment news website. What we do is we go out, we report stories, and that story was deemed newsworthy by every major network, as you know, which has picked it up and also done the reporting on it.
And the conversation gets heated between Whoopi and Perrell.
This is a woman who put her stuff on your site.
No, I don't think that's an accurate characterization.
Really? How did it get there?
We dug in.
So you dug it up.
He's not saying where he got it. Investigation.
Right. I understand that, but my question is this. Did you dug up all this evidence, why didn't you guys go to the police?
And say that?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But the police already
asked. Yeah, baby.
Beforehand, I'm asking, did you go to the police when you found out, supposedly, that she had been punched in the face and the baby had been punched? Did you guys call the police?
We didn't find out until after the police had it. So, of course, we called the police for comment.
What? Didn't find out till after the police had it? Oh, you called the police for comment?
Yeah, the cops, she already called the cops. Then they got the tape.
I don't know. I agree. I agree with Whoopi. I think that...
I agree with her, too, you know, but I mean, after all, a guy got to make a living.
Oh, he sounds like a freaking worm. All right, 877... I realize it's a bad thing to say, but he does. 877-876-PHIL. AOL Radio ranks the 10 most awesomely bad songs, and we think that AOL doesn't know anything more about music than we do, so we are going to read their list of awesomely bad songs, but then we're going to go to our website and read to you our list of Phil's most grating, irritating bands. I think that's far more interesting. And the Ground Zero Mosque wins approval. What do you guys think?
Yay!
Yeah. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, now we have AOL and the worst music or the most irritating songs or something. What was the name of this, Jace? It was the most, what is it? You got that, bud?
Yeah, it's the AOL and the worst songs that they ever heard, as far as I can tell.
No, it's not the worst song. It's AOL, their most awesomely bad songs. Okay, cool. So what we'll do is we'll play those for you. Then we have our list of the 20 most grating, irritating, fingers on a chalkboard. Just, oh, God, enough already. And what do we mean by grating and irritating? We mean that the hype is no longer matching the delivery of the goods. You know what I mean? And I know that at one time it did, but it don't no more. So
that's good, English user, don't no more.
Sorry. Number five, most irritating song according to AOL or EOE. It's Johnny Hates Jazz. Yeah, this blows.
Not that bad. I kind of like it.
But what's wrong with this?
Because Johnny Hates Jazz is a rotten band from a lot of points of view. I mean, it's not just their music; it's the human beings they are. They're just rotten human beings. I don't know.
Say, Johnny Hates Jazz, what do they do? Like kill little kittens or something?
They might have. Johnny Hates Jazz sucks because they're just, you know. Number four, England Dan and John Ford Coley. And I'd really like to do something to you tonight, or whatever this was.
It's called I Really Want to See You Tonight.
Right, right.
Hello, yeah, it's been a while. Not much.
This is from my era. How about you? This is from the 70s. Can you believe this? This is...
I'm not sure why
I think there's an entire generation of people that should apologize for this kind of music here. And let me just... let me start.
Maybe later on we could...
Yeah, but I bet when this song was out, you probably thought it was great.
Let's see. Yeah, I probably hummed to it. Yeah, you know, whatever. What can I do? We didn't know any better. There wasn't anything better, man. This was it. All right, number three. Oh, Jesus. Now, this is a really good song, and everybody loves it. And AOL says it's an awesomely bad song. And I think what AOL means is they don't want to admit they like it. That's what they mean by this. Here is the Starland Vocal Band. I saw these cats... the hell is this, man?
I don't know.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
I remember these people, they were like four white people from...
Yeah, they sound pretty white.
Oh, they're not white, huh?
No, they're not white. God, man, take a clue.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, you're right, they're white.
Oh, yeah, they're white. And I think they're like married, you know, they're two couples. Kind of like they're like the American ABBA. And Thinking of You is Working Up an Appetite. Anyway, okay, so there's the Starland Vocal Band, and here is. Who? The hell is this?
I don't know, it's like a TV theme.
What is this, the theme to Hill Street Blues? What is this?
Look at what's happened to me.
See, this is the most asinine list. This is a theme to America's Greatest Hero or something like that, right?
Yeah, Greatest Superhero.
Greatest American Hero. Hey, bud, I don't care who the... Nobody's ever heard of Joey Scarberry. Give me the name of the song.
Are you telling me you've never heard of him?
No, I've never heard of him, and neither have you. I think that's a cheap shot. Of course the song is lame and stupid. Why don't you guys at AOL do everybody a big favor and try to work out your whole thing, man. I mean, you have sucked for so long since Earthlink took all the power away from you. And now nobody really knows why AOL exists, you know? Finally, here is AOL's choice of the worst song ever. I know. I don't know what it is either. Oh, it's All By Myself.
What is?
This song.
What is this?
All By Myself by Eric. Get it out of here, will you? It sucks. All right. Well, I think that's a generally worthless list. A worthless list because it took some cheap shots. Yeah, okay, America's Greatest Hero. That's a bad song. What do you want me to say? Hey, here's a list of songs that really suck. Yeah, I mean, we could be here all day. However, when it comes to the Phil Henry Show and our Phil Henry website, we got guts. Guts! See? And we put up on the list here. I got it, bud.
Yeah, this one here. I love that.
Okay, we got it, man. We have a list here of the 20 bands that are the most grating and irritating. Now, as I said, what is a grating and irritating band? It's a band that, yeah, I get it already. They're fantastic, and they're great, and they're wonderful, and they're fantastic, and they're great, and they're wonderful, and they're fantastic, and they're great, and they're wonderful, and fantastic. And I, you know, have they done anything lately? And there's a few that you're going to recognize, and there's a few that you will say, gee, Phil, I can't believe that you would say something like that. Well, here goes. Number 20, I think a lot of people would agree with this, ELO.
Now, what are they called?
What do you mean, what are they called?
What does that mean?
Electric Light Orchestra.
Oh, yeah, that other guy, they did,
I'm going down, 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 that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they didn't do, it was, yeah, I'm going down, yeah, are you, stop bringing me down, or something like that.
You know, what would one of them, I'm going down, 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 down.
I'm going to go down.
Yeah, I'll bet you are.
You guys shut up for a minute. They did Don't Bring Me Down.
No, but what about I'm going down?
What about it?
I'm going to belt somebody in a minute. Number 19, Radiohead. That's right, that's right. Overrated? Oh, God. Overrated. Number 18, Patti Stinkin' Smith. Number 17, Bon Jovi. Most grating, irritating bands. Number 16, Foreigner. Number 15, Supertramp. Number 14, and I'm very happy that we put this band on the list, Red Hot Chili Peppers. Suck. Number 13, Chicago. See, I know a lot of people are saying, oh, you know, you just don't... You know. Why, am I supposed to apologize because I'm a hip-hop fan? Is that it? Because that's basically the music that I like these days. Where am I at?
You did number 14.
Number 14, Red Hot Chili. All right. I tell you what.
Not Red Hot Chili. Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Red Hot Chili Peppers. All right, when we come back, we'll do 13 to number 1 on the list of the most grating, irritating bands, including REO Speedwagon. They suck so much, they fired some guy just because he was losing his hair, and they wanted to. I'm kidding. We'll be back here. World famous Phil Henry Show.
That one bald guy there.
Phil Henry. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL and our website, philhenryshow.com. Live streaming video right now of our radio show. If you had a backstage pass, you could watch us as we perform this show. And, oh, man, it's a sick thing. It is a...
Yeah, I mean, you have a meltdown and everything.
It's a reality show wrapped around a radio show. All right. When we last left you, we had the AOL 10 5 Most Awesomely Bad Songs, whatever. So now we got the Phil Henry Show all-time grating, irritating bands from our website, philhenryshow.com. We got all the way up to number 14. So let's just recap, shall we? We had number 20 was ELO, 19 Radiohead, 18 Patti Smith. And what do I mean by grating and irritating? They've lasted far longer in the musical lexicon. They've hung around far longer than they should have. People are still talking about them, and they shouldn't be. Yeah, ELO. We're done. No more. Radiohead, Patti Smith, Bon Jovi, Foreigner, Super Trump.
Super Chump.
Super Chump. Red Hot Chili Peppers. Oh, I wrote Peppers here on the homepage. I got to correct that.
Yeah. Oh, are you kidding me? What a retard.
Shut up. Red Hot Chili Peppers. Chicago is number 13.
Yeah, now wouldn't you get that one?
Number 13 is Chicago. And Chicago is a classic example of a band that could have been fantastic, and instead they opted to be rich.
Well, is that what you want to do?
Frankly, yes. That is what you want to do. So I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Number 12, REO Speedwagon. And I know that's kind of a cheap shot because everybody dumps on REO Speedwagon, but you got to. They beg for it. They ask for it. They want it so bad. Number 11, Great White. Number 10, the Georgia Satellites, just because I wanted to pick on them. Number 9, Styx. Of course, they suck. Now, here's one that I'll get a lot of disagreement on, but I will never, ever change my mind. Number 8, the White Stripes.
Yeah, see, I don't understand that at all.
I agree with you.
What are you talking about? That guy, did you hear their first album?
Yes, I heard their first album. God. I heard it, and I heard it, and I heard it, and I heard it.
And you didn't like that Army of 7,000. I'm going to do an Army of 7,000.
Shut up, man. God.
Margaret's going to call in.
What?
Margaret just said, God, don't get scared.
What's the matter, man?
What do you mean Margaret's calling in?
Yeah, hold on. Yeah, she's on line two. Margaret, go ahead.
Margaret, what do you want?
What do I want? I'm calling up because I understand that you put Green Day on the list. And I'm just checking.
Yes, we did.
I don't understand you. You put Green Day on.
Well, what are you, all of a sudden a Green Day fan? Excuse me for saying this, Margaret, but neither one of us, you or I, we're not exactly, you know.
Oh, well, excuse you for saying, you know, speak for yourself, Phil. I'm sorry, I like contemporary music. Are you trying to say, oh, I'm too old? You know what, if you have decided to lay down and die, Phil, that's your business. I think Green Day is remarkable. Remarkable.
And are you kidding me? Green Day?
Yes.
We're talking about the same band.
Are you kidding me? There are people out there wondering what... First of all, just hearing you put Radiohead on that list, I thought my ass was going to give out. And
Radiohead? You're not a Radiohead fan, so don't even go there. I know you like Styx. And Green Day...
Green Day wrote a song, and you know the song. It's something quite remarkable, but in a sufficient time, do-do-do-do. You know the song?
What is she talking about?
Talking about the time. Hope you get a time of your life.
Oh, man, that song is the worst song ever made.
Excuse me, that song... Oh, my God, I don't... You know, I'm almost embarrassed to come on your program now. Green Day is on your list of most irritating bands.
If you're talking about that song, Time of Your Life, then they deserve it 50 times. They deserve public execution.
Tell me you're kidding, right?
No, they have gone down now in history as having written one of the lamest songs ever in the history of the world, Time of Your Stinking Life.
You know, I really feel sorry for people that you just don't get it about youth culture, do you?
And youth culture? I mean, that song, that was at Jason Rance's graduation, so that song's at least 10 years old. And
yeah, so what? You listen to Cream. Oh!
He got you on that one, Phil.
Yeah.
So listen to this. I don't think you understand the meaning of this song, Smith. Another fork stuck in the road. Here we go. It's something unpredictable, but in the end it's ripe. I hope you have the time of your life. Do 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 do.
What do you mean, the time of your life?
It's something unpredictable, but in the end, it's ripe.
I don't know if it's ripe or not.
No, it is.
Well, then what does that mean, I hope you have the time of your life?
It rhymes. I don't know. What did I say?
You said it's something, but in the end, it's ripe?
Yes.
It's right.
Well, that doesn't rhyme with life either.
Okay, I hope you have the time of your light.
You know what you're doing? You're doing this on purpose, okay? You are trying to make the song sound like it was written by a cretin, like it was written by someone missing a chromosome, aren't you? Isn't that what you're doing?
No, I'm not trying to do anything like that, Margaret. I'm just telling you, you got it wrong. I'm not saying whoever this cat is, Billy Joe. Is that his name?
Yes, that's his name.
All right. I ain't saying that he wrote it bad. I'm saying you're singing it bad.
I ain't saying he wrote it bad. I say he's singing it bad. God, what a waste road you sound like. Let me do this again. It's something unpredictable, but in the end, it's ripe. I hope you have the time of your life. You're right, it doesn't work. Well, anyway, it goes on to say, so take the photographs and still frames in your mind. Beat, beat, beat. Hang it on a shelf in good health and good time. Beat, beat. Tattoos and memories and dead skin on trial. For what it's worth, it was worth all the shine. Well, I don't know. I know they sang it at my nephew's graduation.
Get her out of here, will you?
What? You don't like that song?
No, I don't like the song, and I don't like her trying to make the song sound better than it. She can't do it.
Yeah, man, that whole, you have the time of your life.
She's got to be out of her mind. She must be drunk. You know what, bud? When you take a call from her this late at night, I'm serious. You have to have a little bit better sense than putting her on the air.
Well, can we play the song?
You want to play the song, huh?
Yeah, I can play it.
All right, go ahead and play the song, and maybe if Margaret's out there listening, she can hear exactly how it goes. Call back in, Margaret. You can sing this. Here it is. A fork stuck in the
road. Hello, am I on?
Yes.
Oh, thank God. Yeah. To go. So make the best of this past and don't ask why. Yes, there it is. It's not a question but a lesson learned in time. Oh, I love how he sings it. Predictable. And again, the end can be. Do, 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 yes. And don't you love how he sings it? He sounds as if he's got one formed. And maybe it's peeking its head out, but he doesn't quite have.
All right, thank you very much, Margaret. Well, that's a nice song, bud. Thanks.
Yeah, I got it all queued up and ready on account. I figured she wanted to sing it.
Jesus. I've never seen so much ado about nothing. He sounds like he's formed one, and...
Yeah, you don't even want to go there, man. She's making fun of him. And she said she liked Billy Joe, but I don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that was very complimentary either. All right, anyway, so number 6 was Green Day. Number 5, the inimitable Jethro Tull. They're done. In my book, they're done. Number 4, Avenged Sevenfold. Yeah.
Are you out of your mind? That's what I'm... Oh, my God.
Nope. Yeah. No, those guys have just... They've just worn out their welcome with me. Number 3, Guns N' Roses. They've worn their welcome out with everybody. Number 2, Paul McCartney. Yeah, he wore his welcome out. And number 1, the most grating, irritating bastard on earth. I'm sure he's a nice guy, but if I hear his music again, someone dies and they die slow. Bob Seger in the Silver Bullet Band. Yes!
I don't know who they are, man.
You don't want to. So there's Phil's all-time grating. Now, you know, you can weigh in on our website at philhenryshow.com and you can make your own vote. And one of the things, as everybody knows about these kinds of polls, that there's always a band you should have put on there. There's always a group you should have this, you should have that, you should have something else. The only thing that I think we should stop doing is doing these polls, you know, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you told me one time when you was a disc jockey, though, you're ripping on a band and somebody from a record company call up, right?
Yeah.
When that happen?
That happened, God, that happened almost 20 years ago. I was doing mornings. When KLSX was a music, well, it is a music station now. It used to be a talk station in between. It was a music station, then it was talk, and now it's a music station again. But anyway, I was on KLSX, and it's a station here in Los Angeles. And I forget what I said, something about how this record sucks, and I wish to God I didn't have to play it, but I have to, otherwise I get fired. And somebody from a record company called and started ripping into me. Oh, I know what I did. I started ripping the Grammys. That was it. And they called me up and they started, and they should have ripped me. They said, what are you, a disc jockey? You're ripping the music, man? This is your industry, man. And I remember thinking, they're right. They're right. I shouldn't even be doing this for a living. Why am I spinning records when I hate the music that I'm playing?
Did you hate all the music, like the music you play, like classic rock?
I hated it all. I didn't hate it, but I hated playing the same records over and over. I got to the point where I started hating it, yeah. You're not healthy. You're not a healthy human being. if you don't start hating music that you're playing over and over and over again. And that's how it was for me as a disc jockey. I played the same things over and over, and I got to hate rock and roll. I got to despise it because it was the same swill over and over and over again. And then I got into talk radio, and because I see you two guys every day, I got to hate you. I'm kidding.
Well, that's not nice to say.
I'm joking around. All right, we're going to be coming back here. We'll tell you the cars most likely to get stolen, so you can go out and buy one, right, and see if we're right. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I hope you have the time of your life.
Phil Hendry.
Phil, our website, philhendryshow.com. And you can Twitter with us at twitter.com/realphilhendry, which is my own personal Twitter account. And our staff-run Twitter account is the one that Bud and Robert and Rance and all the everybody else is on is twitter.com/philhendryshow. And we're at Facebook at facebook.com/philhendry. Now, the most stolen automobiles out there. What do you think people are stealing? I've got it for you right here. The Cadillac Escalade or Escalade or Escalady. I don't know.
Escalady.
Ask any lady. Thanks, bud. And she'll tell you the Cadillac Escalade. I, honest to God, I don't know how to pronounce it. And I've known people that have owned them. I wanted to own one at one time for about 3 minutes. And then I decided, no, the Lincoln Navigator that I bought my wife is fine enough. And it's Escalade. Thank you. As in. All right. Beware of thieves if you're behind the wheel of a Cadillac Escalade. The luxury auto, 2007 to 2009 models, is the most frequently stolen car in the United States, according to the Highway Loss Data Institute. Now, and that is as reported by Freep.com. Now, I wonder, and I hate to say this, is it because the Cadillac Escalade is the most frequently stolen car, or is it because Cadillac Escalades are most commonly found in neighborhoods where cars are stolen?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question.
All right, what does that mean, man? Like black people got them?
No. No. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, see, I told you.
No, I'm asking Phil. Are you saying that's because black people have them?
I'm not saying it's because, no, because the only people I've ever seen driving them are white folks.
Yeah, but still, if you say, because I try to say that. The reason why they're stolen is because a lot of black folks have them in a bad neighborhood.
No, but I'm asking Phil, is that why you're saying that?
I'm asking a question. Do you think that that's possible?
Because that, I know he's racist. You know,
I'm not being racist. What I said was, is a Cadillac Escalade get it stolen? Like, okay, you want to know why the Toyota Camry got stolen? Because a lot of Chinese had them. That's why.
No, that isn't why. It's because the parts were replaceable.
Yeah, I knew I read that.
Yeah, but you got to admit this, a lot of Chinamen had them.
Hey, man, will you knock it off with the Chinaman thing? Because I'm going to get people calling me and writing me letters, all right?
What?
Just don't say what you just said.
About the Camry?
No, the Chinaman thing.
Oh.
Keep your hands off the mic, too. The runner-up for the most stolen car includes the Ford F-250 crew pickup truck, the Infiniti G37 luxury car, and the Dodge Charger, outfitted with the Hemi engine. These are the runners-up for the most stolen automobile. They're between 3 and 5 times as likely to be stolen as other vehicles, says the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety affiliate. The group examined the number of drivers who filed insurance claims following a theft. Sedate family cars and fuel sippers aren't on the hot list, according to Kim Hazelbaker, senior vice president of the Highway Loss Data Institute. She was talking to Freep.com. Thieves are after chrome, horsepower, and Hemis. Now, you know, I got a, and I don't think I'm talking out of school, I got a 2010 Jaguar, and,
yeah, you leased a new Jaguar.
Yes, I did. And the one that I got, they don't put the Jaguar on it anymore. You know, the little animal?
Yeah, like the hood ornament.
Right, the hood ornament. They don't put it on there anymore. And I can't say as I am sorry, because you always worry that you're going to come out of a store or a restaurant or wherever you were and somebody ripped it off.
Yeah, well, everybody's collecting them for a while.
A lot of them are getting them in Mercedes.
Well, I'm glad they don't put them on the Jaguars anymore. They talk about they want the chrome. Does that mean that they want to get the hood ornaments?
I don't think so, man. I mean, they'll get the hood ornament if it's, you know, just for fun, but...
All right, anyway, for the past 6 years, the Escalade has ranked the worst in overall theft losses. According to the Highway Loss Data Institute, the Escalade EXT four-door, four-wheel drive has the highest theft loss of all the models. As a group, large luxury SUVs have the highest overall theft losses. Losses for these cars coming in at nearly six times as high as the average for all passenger vehicles. So that's not just the Escalade. That's the Navigator. That's all of that crap. And when I say crap, I do mean crap. Those bastards are the reason why, and I'm not blaming the cars, but those are the reason why GM and all the rest of those jive asses in Detroit couldn't find it with both hands because they were out there, we're just giving the people what they want. I'll bet you just do, don't you? How about if I give you what you want, man? All right, anyway... New to this year's worst list, that is the automobile that's most likely to get stolen, the Chevrolet Corvette Z06, a high-performance midsize sports car. It's not stolen as often as other cars on the list, but when it does get stolen, claims are especially costly. The Corvette. No kidding.
I don't know what they're talking about midsize.
Is this a new midsize Corvette? The cars with the lowest losses, that is cars that are least likely to be stolen... The Volvo S80, which is a large luxury sedan, the Saturn VUE four-wheel drive midsize SUV, and the Nissan Murano midsize SUV. The hybrid Toyota Prius also is in the top 10 list of the cars with the lowest rate of being stolen. How about that, man?
I don't have none of them cars.
You know, I knock wood. You know, I've never had a motorcycle stolen once, and it's a good thing it got stolen, because if it hadn't gotten stolen, then I'd still be parking my motorcycle out in front of apartment houses at 2 o'clock in the morning and leaving it there, trusting that it's just going to be sitting there all night.
You're kidding?
No, that's how I got my first and only motorcycle stolen. I used to just park it on the street. What kind of an idiot was I? I didn't have a chain for it. I didn't have nothing, man. I went out there one day. I saw my bike was gone. I couldn't believe it. That was my education. I was like 18 years old, and that was my education. Not in how bad the world is, not in how rotten the world is, how dumb I am.
Wait a minute. Where did you park it?
On the street.
No, but yeah, but where'd you park it?
On the street. Are you guys, what are you, trying to make fun of me?
You're kidding. You put it on a street?
Yes, that's what, for the 15th time, on the street.
I guess it got stolen, huh?
Yeah, it got stolen. Even my mom looked at me like, what is wrong with you, man?
Boy, no kidding.
My mother looked at me, she goes, I said, hey, Mom, should we report it? I said to my mom, should we report it? She goes, it's in 58 million pieces on a garage floor right now. Even my mother figured it out. She said, it's been stripped out, man. It's in 900 different pieces and garages all over Arcadia. Are you kidding? Report it stolen. She said, they'll get it back to you in a box, you know, just parts.
Your mom figured it out. She's probably wondering what the heck you're thinking about.
Probably. My dear old mother, may she rest in peace. And then she had to pick up, because I was a stupid kid, she had to pick up paying off the thing. You know, I think we got some insurance money, but I don't know how much. World famous Phil Henry Show. Thank you, bud, Robert.
Yeah, man. You know, on that list, you want to keep that up there?
What list?
The one of the bands.
Yeah, why?
I don't know.
No, I'm going to keep it up there. Why? Do you think people are going to start giving me a hard time?
Well, all that Green Day stuff.
Oh, well, I'm scared of the Green Day fans. Anyway, the Phil Henry Show, produced by Jason Rantz. Technical director is Charles Wagon, and our associate producer is Dan Northcraft, along with Bud, along with Robert. PhilHenryShow.com, later and greater.
Phil Henry.